Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening. And tonight will be part three in our recent series on Zionist violations. Now, with the cursory information, if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. Again, that's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. And that's for Arizona. Again, 928-333-2942. And for the Canadian studios, 613-733-4324. That's 613-733-4324. Now, for any of you who want to send any more hate mail or complaints or good words, of course, or suggestions on future broadcasting topics you'd like covered here at the Hour of the Time, and to share research, you can email me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do not forget, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. And through your donations for research materials in the form of printed publications, MP3 broadcasts, DVDs, MP3 audio series as bundled packages, all of those items available via our website, hourofthetime.com, and go to our hot shop. All of those donations for research materials help us expand our presence and our research all the more speaking engagements, more endeavors, more offers on the website. It goes on and on and on. We have some really good offers right now from some good networks, but we're not going to swing it out of our personal savings when you should be taking responsibility for seeing the Hour of the Time grow even more. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's up to you. We are listener-supported. Now, also again, a reminder to those folks coming and attending the Pennsylvania conference, I need you to email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Don't procrastinate anymore. Email me, and I've got a few basic questions I need to ask each and every one of you attending, and then a little more info to get from each of you for advanced materials being sent out prior to the conference, as well as lodging arrangements, etc., the finite details that need to go on before we arrive in Pennsylvania in April. So be sure to contact me, ladies and gentlemen, for that. Again, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. We also have some really other exciting events happening right now. I'm really pleased with them. Some new artwork going on, DVDs and covers, some more like-minded entities out there that are stepping up to the bat and going to carry the Hour of the Time DVDs, etc. Now, they've already done a good job with two or three of the titles, and they're going to carry more of our titles in their publications and on their website and on their TV and satellite and radio networks. So that's really good. That helps them get the word out from a reliable source, us here at Hour of the Time, and at the same time helps us expand our operating base, because the time is coming close, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of research materials, etc., see, here at Hour of the Time, we're solution-oriented and fact-based. Now, I know that's new to many people out there that have listened to other networks, like the Walmart of Truth over there with Farron. You're not used to getting that, and substantiated proof and documentation, and likewise, in keeping with those ideals that we've had, and solution-oriented topics here at the Hour of the Time, with educational programming, documentation, conferences, etc. The same goes hand in hand with this current series. Excuse me there. Now, for this current series, I have done a lot of work in the past with a like broadcast 4 to 5 years back, and I have gathered the UN resolutions in PDF for this series. Now, I'm going to put all the PDFs for the UN resolutions that I'm bringing up in the last two broadcasts and tonight, part three. And when I say last two, I mean in this series, not consecutively. They've been over a week's period. You can get those via a donation at the shopping cart, the Hot Shop, which it is at our website, hourofthetime.com. A lot of time went into gathering all these PDFs, but again, I want you to read them yourself and see if what I'm saying is a lie. Go disprove me. Go read the actual resolutions from the United Nations since 1946 yourself. Everything we've referenced in this series. And those that can't take the topic matter or the documentation can stick that in their pipe and smoke it. I actually really don't care what you think. Just quit messing with those around us. Now, with all of that said, I'm going to go to the typical beginning of the broadcast musical break. This is where you need to get your snacks or whatever and your notebooks ready to start writing. Not very many people took us up on the offer for printed documentation in the first broadcast of this series. This PDF package is a whole different thing. It's the PDFs from the United Nations, on and on and on, covering a, well, now it would be 60 years plus time span. So, or right around 60 years, I should say, time span of resolutions on this topical matter. And really proving, once again, my postulation, if you will. I ask questions and input from the audience, you out there. Who do you think really runs the UN, ladies and gentlemen? I already know myself, and I already told you my beliefs in the last broadcast. What do you think, though? Seems pretty clear, the more you look at it, what faction Zionism runs the United Nations, and why it is there as a tool to cause hate and discontent around the world, all along striving for absolute control and subversion of freedom and independent nation states. But I want you to ponder some of these questions I've posed in this series, and let's hear some good feedback from you. Again, just email me hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now be sure to be ready for notes right after this musical break. Thank you. right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Again, the website, hourofthetime.com. The studio number in Eager, Arizona, 928-333-2942. My personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And the studio number in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now tonight, I hope you're ready to take notes. We're continuing on with our series tonight, part 3, and it's Tuesday the 9th of February 2010 in our Zionist Violation series. Now we'll go and do a recap real quick of where we left off in the last broadcast, because I so rudely cut myself off at the top of the hour. And it comes from March 18th, 1994, Resolution 904. Expresses shock at, quote, the appalling massacre committed against Palestinian worshipers in the Mosque of Ibrahim in Hebron, end quote, on February 25th, 1994, by Jewish settler Baruch Goldstein, quote, during the holy month of Ramadan, end quote. It expresses grave concern with, quote, the consequent Palestinian casualties in the occupied Palestinian territory as a result of the massacre, which underlines the need to provide protection and security for the Palestinian people. The condemnation of this massacre by the entire international community strongly condemns the massacre in Hebron and its aftermath, which took the lives of more than 50 Palestinian civilians and injured several hundred others, calls upon Israel, the occupying power, to continue to take and implement measures, including intra alia confiscation of arms with the aim of preventing illegal acts of violence by Israeli settlers, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I so rudely cut myself off at the end of the last broadcast in this series. What I was explaining was during that time of the illegal occupation by Israel, they were disarming everybody else en masse, just as you're seeing right now in the United States. Now, what they had been asked to do was to the illegal, by the way, settlers, which they were already told not to be importing in and displacing other people during this illegal invasion to begin with, they were allowing them almost unlimited access to military arms, and they were attacking the people of the victim nation. So that's what that means there. And that's what I was just getting to explain when I cut myself off. So now on to Resolution 1073, September 28, 1996. Expresses, quote, deep concern with the tragic events in Jerusalem and the areas of Nablus, Ramallah, Bethlehem, and the Gaza Strip, which resulted in a high number of deaths and injuries among the Palestinian civilians, and concerned also about the clashes between the Israeli army and the Palestinian police and the casualties on both sides, and calls for the safety and protection for Palestinian civilians to be ensured, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on to Resolution 1322 of October 7th, 2000. Expresses deep concern, quote, by the tragic events that have taken place since September 28, 2000 that have led to numerous deaths and injuries, mostly among Palestinians, deplores the provocation carried out at Al-Haram al-Sharif in Jerusalem on September 28, 2000, and the subsequent violence there and at other holy places, as well as in other areas throughout the territories occupied by Israel since 1967, resulting in over 80 Palestinian deaths and many other casualties, end quote. And it goes on to, quote, condemn acts of violence, especially the excessive use of force against Palestinians, resulting in injury and loss of life, calls upon Israel, the occupying power, to abide scrupulously by its legal obligations and its responsibilities under the Fourth Geneva Convention, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure all of you can tell none of that has been heeded. And when other countries had set up a long chain of events, none this long, certainly, but what we decided were long chains of events, you get a group of so-called allies, mostly socialist countries, that jump in, that are aiming for the total subversion of America to look like allies together, and you invade them and bomb them. So, who's controlling who, then, here at the UN, ladies and gentlemen? Now, March 30th, 2002, Resolution 1402 expresses grave concern, quote, at the further deterioration of the situation, including the recent suicide bombings in Israel and the military attack against the headquarters of the president of the Palestinian Authority, calls upon both parties to move immediately to a meaningful ceasefire, calls for the withdrawal of Israeli troops from Palestinian cities, including Ramallah, end quote. That's from 2002, ladies and gentlemen. Now, April 4th, 2002, Resolution 1403. Expresses grave concern, quote, at the further deterioration of the situation on the ground, demands the implementation of its Resolution 1402 without delay, end quote. That was the last resolution I just read. That was from March 30th, now to April 4th. And now we'll move on to April 19th, 2002. April 19th, 2002. Resolution 1405 expresses concern for, quote, the dire humanitarian situation of the Palestinian civilian population, in particular reports from the Jenin refugee camp of an unknown number of deaths and destruction. Calls for the lifting of restrictions imposed, in particular in Jenin, on the operations of humanitarian organizations, including the ICRC, International Committee of the Red Cross, and the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East. End quote. And it goes on, quote, emphasizes the urgency of access of medical and humanitarian organizations to the Palestinian civilian population, end quote. April 19th, that reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, look at all the things that happened here in America on April 19th throughout the years, a very important date to the New Dawn people. Ladies and gentlemen, those of the New Dawn, and, of course, the rebirth or resurrection through fire, the Phoenix, ladies and gentlemen. But April 19th, I didn't hear the UN crying or screaming about Butch Dyke Janet ordering the massacre and death of all the people in the Waco Church, why they were within their church and home. September 24th, 2002, Resolution 1435. 1435, September 24th, 2002. Oh, and I guess I better clarify, I said Butch Dyke Reno. I mean Janet. I meant Janet Reno, not our current Janet. She wasn't involved, although there are very many similarities. She was not involved at the Waco orders. Resolution 1435, September 24th, 2002, expresses grave concern, quote, at the reoccupation of the headquarters of the president of the Palestinian Authority in the city of Ramallah and took place on September 19th, 2002, and demands its immediate end, end quote, and expresses alarm, quote, at the reoccupation, excuse me, of Palestinian cities, as well as the severe restrictions imposed on the freedom of movement of persons and goods, and gravely concerned at the humanitarian crisis being faced by the Palestinian people. And reiterates the need, this is a quote, the need for respect in all circumstances of international humanitarian law, including the Fourth Geneva Convention, relative to the protection of civilian persons in time of war, demands that Israel immediately seize measures in and around Ramallah, including the destruction of Palestinian civilian and security infrastructure, demands also the expeditious withdrawal of the Israeli occupying forces from Palestinian cities towards the return to the positions held prior to September 2000, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you're probably seeing the trend here. I hope so. And if you want to do more research, and I encourage you to do so, go to our website, thehourofthetime.com. Go to our hot shop. Donate. It's a very minuscule amount for an entire disc of all the UN resolutions in PDF format to support these last three broadcasts in this series. Don't just take my word for it. Read it yourself. So, ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me that so far, the Zionists both in charge and the Zionist perpetrators of these acts get away with it, and other countries don't. Again, the question is posed, who's really running the United Nations? And, to a great extent, the United States. Resolution 1544, May 19th, 2004, reaffirms Resolutions 242, 338, 446, 1322, 1397, 1402, 1405, 1435, and 1515, which you've all have in your notes already, ladies and gentlemen, and reiterates, quote, the obligation of Israel, the occupying power, to abide scrupulously by its legal obligations and responsibilities under the Fourth Geneva Convention relative to the protection of civilian persons in times of war, calls on Israel to address its security needs within the boundaries of international law, expresses grave concern at the continued deterioration of the situation on the ground in the territory occupied by Israel since 1967. Ladies and gentlemen, 37 years now, occupation. Condemns the killing of Palestinian civilians that took place in the Rafah area. That was a quote. And another one expresses grave concern, quote, by the recent demolition of homes committed by Israel, the occupying power, in the Rafah refugee camp. Reaffirms its support for the roadmap endorsed in Resolution 1515. Calls on Israel to respect its obligations under international humanitarian law and insist, in particular, on its obligations not to undertake demolition of homes contrary to that law, and calls on both parties to immediately implement their obligations under the so-called roadmap. End quote. Now, they didn't say so-called. I did, because roadmap, in this case, was a term for an official plan called the roadmap over there. And ladies and gentlemen, I just reiterated the number of years we're talking about now. And I have to ask you, having been around, involved in, or trained people involved in, did we give Bosnia, Haiti, Somalia, Honduras, Iraq, Afghanistan, did we give any of them? Think about it. 37 years. Nope. Sure didn't. That's why so many of us in the Army at the time called the South America, for instance, instead of Operation Just Cause, as it was deemed officially, we called it Operation Just Because. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Then on August 11th, 2006, Resolution 1701 expresses, quote, its utmost concern at the continuing escalation of hostilities in Lebanon and in Israel that has already caused hundreds of deaths and injuries and extensive damage to civilian infrastructure and hundreds of thousands of internally displaced persons, end quote, and, quote, calls for a full cessation of hostilities, including the immediate cessation by Israel of all offensive military operations, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the next one, Resolution 1860, Resolution 1860, January 8th, 2009, expresses, quote, grave concern at the escalation of violence and the deterioration of the situation, in particular, the resulting heavy civilian casualties since the refusal to extend the period of calm, end quote. And also again, Resolution 1860, January 8th, 2009, quote, expresses grave concern also at the deepening humanitarian crisis in Gaza, calls for an immediate, durable, and fully respected ceasefire, leading to the full withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza, calls for the unimpeded provision and distribution throughout Gaza of humanitarian assistance, including of food, fuel, and medical treatment, and condemns all violence and hostilities directed against civilians and all acts of terrorism, end quote. Now, I didn't make up all the words about denial or food or fuel or medical treatment or hostilities or civilians or terrorism. That was all, as I said, quoted. It is amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that anybody else can be labeled a terrorist for thinking that we should obey the Constitution, for instance, and be raided. Or other countries aren't given, at this point at least now, think about what we're talking about, for the chain of events, the Palestinian question, if you will, 42 years now of resolutions. So I just, again, I'm just curious. I guess I'm asking for input from the audience there on that topic. Why do Zionists in Israel get away with, at this point, the end of the real resolutions, if you will, and in this series, besides some other stuff I'm going to cover here in a bit, 42 years. Again, I just bring up Somalia, Haiti, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Honduras, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran on its way, Yemen. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. Seems to me like you can get a pretty clear picture here. And I would think most of you who are listening have plenty enough sense and have taken plenty enough notes, if not just this broadcast series, but over the years even, depending on how long you've been listening, to put it all together. Who really controls Israel, the bulk of U.S. policies, and the United Nations? Now, ladies and gentlemen, after this musical break, and get me some lemon water, we're going to continue on. And again, don't forget, if you would like these UN resolutions, now I don't mean the abbreviated quotes either, I mean the resolutions from the United Nations in PDF format that substantiate all this three broadcast, go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and simply go to the Hot Shop and donate there for an entire disk package of PDF files. And again, it's not just the abbreviated stanzas that I took out for expediency's sake to use on the air. I gave you the resolution and date. I know many of you will hit the next stumbling block, though, and that's reading the whole resolution. So, I dare you to. Not only do I dare you, I want you to. So, there you have it. We've gathered them up. We've done all the work. And there's another way you can donate to help expand the operation of Hour of the Time. And at the same time, get yourself some good research materials to read and study. Be ready after this musical break, ladies and gentlemen, to take more notes. Thank you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude our recapping of UN resolutions. Ladies and gentlemen, in this series on Zionist violations, resolutions going back to 1948, even so. 41 years. My math was screwy earlier. Sorry about that. It just dawned on me. 41, not 42 years of resolutions from the very entity that the UN loves to run to get resolutions to support its agenda to gang up on people. But they don't need to heed it. And the very entity that the current geopolitical boundaries, as they were originally deemed, and then everything they've taken illegally, but originally deemed, wouldn't even have been recognized were it not for the UN. So who's controlling what? And how many sides, ladies and gentlemen? I say the Zionist. Now, I know you're just, you people out there that are just wound up right now, typing away. Well, go ahead. My email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and please spell my name right when you ridicule me. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, just some questions to think about. And the reason I read through these from this article that recently appeared in the Foreign Policy Journal by Mr. Hammond was it was so ironic to see this article at the very end of January, just a week or so ago, week and a half ago, because I did a broadcast on the very same thing 4 to 5 years ago here on Hour of the Time. I'm not saying he copied us one bit. That's not even what I'm alluding to. I just thought, well, here it is again getting published, so heck, I'll rebroadcast it and offer you all the PDFs of all the UN resolutions, because I've read them, ladies and gentlemen. Don't take my word for it. Read them yourself. See it for yourself. Try to disprove me. I'd also suggest a few books that you ought to read. I'm often asked about a suggested reading list, if you will. So I'll give you some of them right now. This isn't all of them. This isn't all-inclusive. We have thousands of books here in the library that I have personally read. And I'm not exaggerating by thousands. But a few. For you newer people that are emailing me quite a bit. Because a lot of you have seen through the hucksters, the PAY patriots out there, and the Walmarts of truth. And realizing the hour of the time gives you the facts and solutions. So, I would say, here are some ideas for reading. I would check out, if you're interested in this realm in particular, from this series, The Rejection of Palestinian Self-Determination. The Rejection of Palestinian Self-Determination. I'd also look to None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And in fact, None Dare Call It Treason. Both of those. Go also look to All the News That Fits. All the News That Fits. Also, Pawns in the Game. Pawns in the Game. Pawns as in a chess board. Pawns in the Game. Also, Red Fog Over America. Another good read. Another one, Committee of 300, by, guess what, our upcoming special guest and all-day seminar instructor and leader, John Coleman, at the COT Conference 2010. Attendees get to ask questions, dine with him, interview him, see his presentations, listen to him speak, etc., all day long. And into the evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Committee of 300. Those are just a few of the readings And of course, most importantly, and the easiest and at the top of the list, but most oft ignored, the U.S. Constitution. A simple, easy read, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to refer to a piece from days gone by. Many of you may remember this from back June 1996, June 13th, in fact, 1996. A long time ago, it seems like. I know it isn't, but it is a wearing many years since 1996. Holy Toledo. It's hard to think about that long ago. How long we've been doing this. June 13th, 1996, Joseph Sobran wrote a wonderful piece, and I'm going to read it here. It's very short and to the point. It's entitled, In Our Hands. In Our Hands, June 13th, 1996, Joseph Sobran. One isn't supposed to say this, but many people believe that Israel now holds the White House, the Senate, and much of the American media in its hands. That is what is known as an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. The odd thing is that it is held by many Israelis. In an essay reprinted in the May 27, 1996 issue of the New York Times, Ari Shavit, an Israeli columnist, reflected sorrowfully on the wanton Israeli killing of more than 100 Lebanese civilians in April. Quote, "We killed them out of a certain naive hubris, believing with absolute certitude that now, with the White House, the Senate, and much of the American media in our hands, the lives of others do not count as much as our own." End quote. Again, May 27th, 1996, the New York Times, Israeli columnist Ari Shavit, an Israeli columnist, not a columnist on Israel, reflected sorrowfully on the wanton Israeli killing of more than 100 Lebanese civilians in April of that year, of course, 1996. And he said in the piece, quote, "We killed them out of a certain naive hubris, believing with absolute certitude that now, with the White House, the Senate, and much of the American media in our hands, the lives of others do not count as much as our own." End quote. In a single phrase, in our hands, Mr. Shavit has lit up the American political landscape like a flash of lightning. Notice that Mr. Shavit assumes as an obvious fact that we Americans can say publicly only at our own risk. It's surprising and refreshing to find such candor in an American newspaper. Though his essay, as an aside, was reprinted from the Israeli paper Haaretz. Let's keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. And to continue with the piece, In Our Hands, by Joseph Sobran. The prescribed cant on the subject holds that Israel is a reliable ally of the United States, despite Israel's long record of double-dealing against this country, ranging from the killing of American sailors to constant espionage and technology theft. The word ally implies that the relationship exists because it's in the interest of this country, though Israel's lobby is clearly devoted to the interest of Israel itself, and it's childish to suggest otherwise. You expect that from the Israel lobby. Lobbies are lobbies, after all. But it's unnerving that the White House, the Senate, and much of the American media should be, quote, in our hands, end quote, as Mr. Chevitt puts it. Bill Clinton, a lover of peace since his college days, raised no protest when the Israelis drove 400,000 innocent Lebanese out of their homes this year in, quote unquote, retaliation for rockets launched into Israel, wounding one Israeli, by a faction over whom those 400,000 had no control. Congress, of course, was supine as usual at this latest extravagance of Israeli defense. Congress, too, is in our hands. A recent article in the Washington Post likened the Israeli lobby's power to that of the gun and tobacco lobbies. But there is one enormous difference. Newspapers like the Post aren't afraid to criticize the gun and tobacco lobbies. They will say forthrightly that those lobbies seek goals that are dangerous for this country. They don't dare say as much of the Israel lobby. But much of the press and electronic media are in our hands. In a more active sense, they supply misleading pro-Israel propaganda in the guise of news and commentary, constantly praising Israeli democracy and ignoring Israel's mistreatment of its non-Jewish minorities. Mistreatment which, if any government inflicted it on a Jewish minority, would earn it the fierce opprobrium of our media. No decent American would think of reducing American Jews to the status of Palestinians in Israel. The idea is almost absurd. Yet Americans are taxed to subsidize the oppression of Palestinians on the flimsy pretext that they are helping an ally in America's own self-interest, as if it were in our interest to be hated and despised by the whole Muslim world. All this is interesting, less for what it tells us about Israel than for what it tells us about America. Frank discussion of Israel is permitted in Israel, as Mr. Chevitt's article illustrates. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, as an aside, it was first published in the Israeli papers, his article. Back to the piece, it's rarely permitted here. Charges of anti-Semitism are a quiet but very effective boycott will be the reward of any journalist who calls attention to his own government's and his own profession's servitude to Israelis' interests. Very few in America are doing anything to change that sorry state of affairs. Mr. Chevitt wrote his article in the desperate hope of turning back his countrymen and his government from a morally and politically perilous course. At least he can hope. It's harder for us when our own government isn't in our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that pretty much wraps up all we need to do to document the subject. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, the last three broadcasts in this series have done so in detail. Remember, the Hour of the Time is listener supported, ladies and gentlemen. TheHourOfTheTime.com is our website. My personal email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. The mailing address, Hour the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. And in Arizona, the studio phone number is 928-333-2942. And in Canada, the studio number 613-733-4324. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are game on a few more suggestions for future programming, certainly contact me via email, hourthetime@hotmail.com, and I'll be glad to entertain some ideas there on programming. Of course, research going into it, so don't expect it overnight or the next night after you suggest it. Also, don't forget you attending the Pennsylvania Conference. Contact me, hourthetime@hotmail.com. Contact me at that email address and get with me, because we have the finite arrangements getting close to the April conference. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening, and I hope you study your notes and reflect upon some of these questions and observations that have been posed to you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would suggest you also take a look at our ADL series. This ADL audio series by Bill Cooper. Look on our website, hourofthetime.com. Go to the Hot Shop. There's a link right there to it. And look under our special audio series page. These are the pages that contain the collections, topical series, not just news of that day or call-in topics of that day, but topical series, concentrated research in a given area. Look to the ADL series as well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like more into this realm of research. ladies and gentlemen, you might look at those of you who've been subscribers to our free news list here at the Hour of the Time, might look to some of the past articles. Hopefully you've kept yours in a database form. That's why I send them the way I do. And some look up some titles and keywords to see how this is developing over there. I know I've sent titles out of editorial pieces and research pieces like Israel says war on Iraq would benefit the region. Israel says U.S. will attack Iraq in May. Attack Iraq soon, Sharon Aid says. Israel urges U.S. to attack Iraq sooner rather than later. Israel to U.S. Don't delay Iraq attack. Cheney admits U.S. will attack Iraq for Israel's sake. AIPAC is pushing for the USA to attack Iran for Israel. AIPAC spurring Congress to pass sanction bills against Iran.